This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. We go without a guest today because we want you to be part of that conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You could also get us on Twitter and Instagram, at Bart and Hahn. I follow the Twitter feed regularly and catch up on everything you guys are saying.
Are we getting close to our 10,000?
That's a great question.
Because if we ain't about 10,000 by Friday, I ain't showing up. I ain't coming to work.
Really?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'll take a PTO day.
We are not, just so you know.
Did we even grow up a little bit? Are they listening? Are they not listening to us?
They
want our takes, but they don't want to give us our love? If you love us, support us. Damn.
You guys are upsetting Bart already. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just keep entertaining them, and they will keep supporting us. Let's do that. Right, Bart?
Okay.
So, I want to get into that conversation because it's interesting. So, in New York State, the governor has said that he will now, February 23rd, open the arenas to fans. Now, it'll be not full capacity, of course. I believe he was looking at more like, 10% kind of thing. So you're still not going to get full capacity. But the point is you're going to get something. And it's been the first time since, almost an entire year that you'll have fans in a building in New York, and especially in New York City where the pandemic has hit very, very hard, especially in the early days of it. So I just asked, Bart asked a question, I asked it too. Even in the places where the arenas are open, are you that comfortable going to games? Do you want to go to games? Are you as motivated as you used to be to just, hey, let's go catch a game in what we're living in right now? And in New York, are you ready to run? And we did get one tweet from Rob who said, I'd have no problem going to a Rangers game right now.
Yeah.
And so some are willing and can't wait to go. And so I think there'll be a lot of people that also say, I'm not ready yet.
To follow that question and this thought exercise, what does the game day experience, what is it like for fans? Am I going to get concession? Am I going to get drinks? Am I going to be able to get a beer?
Right.
Am I
going
to be able to have fun?
It's all part of the experience.
Exactly. So, what's the experience? Or am I just going to sit there and come there with nothing and just sit and watch a game? Or am I going to be able to get inebriated? Or do I got to get drunk in the parking lot?
That never happens.
What I need to do and what the experience going to be like?
No, I know. That is absolutely part of the conversation. It's part of the questioning of going. Is it just for the game? Because to be honest, if the game sucks, then what else am I here for other than what you just said? All the fun, the camaraderie, joking around, having some drinks, whatever it is, that's usually what the game's about. It's not just sitting and watching a game. So that's why we ask the question. All right, meanwhile, while we wait for those answers to come from those listening through the number and also through social media, hey, Bart, let's do a lot of headlines in sports that go beyond the NFL that we spent a lot of time on today. And let's do it right now in Blitz or Prevent.
Here we go.
This is Blitz.
Blitz is coming, sack, fumble.
Or Prevent.
God, what a catch.
All right, let's go. Speaking of NBA. NBA players have used their platform to speak out about social injustices, as we know. And it was a prominent feature last fall in the bubble, where players wore messages on the backs of their jerseys, and Black Lives Matter was painted right on the court. Many players also took a knee and locked arms during the playing of the national anthem. But you won't see that in Dallas this season, Bart. You haven't. Now, it's not because the Mavericks players don't want to. It's because there's no anthem played before the games. Team owner Mark Cuban confirmed to ESPN yesterday that the team has not played the national anthem before their home games this season. Now, Cuban declined to comment further on it, but he made the decision after consulting with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. The Mavericks didn't announce the change in policy, but the national anthem has not been played before any of the 13 preseason and regular season games at American Airlines Arena in Dallas. No players, coaches, or staffers from other teams have even mentioned the change.
Yeah,
wow. And a couple of years ago, remember, Cuban was outspoken about how he expected players to stand with hand over their hearts, just like he was, during the anthem. But he has since admitted that becoming more aware of issues and injustices, that his opinion has evolved. So Blitz or Prevent, this has already caused some expected outrage. You played in the league for 10 years. You've stood for countless anthems. My experience as a sports writer, I've covered professional sports for over 25 years. I've done the same as a member of the media, and I've also witnessed fans and media who talk, walk, and even eat during anthems before the games that I've covered. I'm all for honoring America at the major events such as the Super Bowl, World Series, NBA Finals, etc. But before every game, I've seen enough before that people are going tone deaf to it.
Yep.
I've also, though, however, I will add this. I've seen the power of the anthem at important moments in our history, so I don't think it should be entirely removed. So, do you think that what the Mavs are doing is going to become a trend?
I think right now we're a nation divided, and this is something that's dividing us. So if you take it away, then it's no outrage, and you can just concentrate on what everybody's there for, and that's the game of basketball. Now, it's crazy because, remember, Colin Kaepernick has started sitting down well before anybody ever noticed. Now that attentions have been brought to the fact that they're not doing it, how's the outrage and how people trying to hijack the reasoning why he's doing it and saying, hey, he shouldn't or shouldn't be doing it. Now everybody's going to have an opinion, but nobody even noticed it. So if you were so enamored with how the pageantry of the national anthem is played in the history and the tradition, why didn't anybody notice it earlier? Because by the time that, you know,
well, there's
the
nobody
anthem's
in the,
coming
well,
on,
actually, but
what I'm saying
is,
but while the anthem is coming on, if you're watching it, you know, if you're watching it on TV, right, a lot of times that's when you go get your snacks. You're not stopping at attention inside of your house and really paying respect to the flag. You only want to pay attention to the flag when you're there. But people want to be outraged for it, but nobody stops. When have you ever stopped me at this? When have you ever went to a Super Bowl party or a party where there's a big game coming on, a boxing match, or anything, and people stop and listen to the anthem, stood up, put their hands over their heart, or anything? No, they don't even pay attention to it. All they do is talk about how good or bad.
Whitney Houston.
Okay, well, that's you. And then maybe, we talk about the great ones, right? And that was a major event. But we're talking about a regular basketball game.
Oh, you're right.
Not a major event.
And that's my point.
Right.
That's entirely
so I want to see. So people going to have outrage just because they want to be outraged.
Maybe. But look, everybody has their opinions on this. But I will give that the counter to it. I was covering the New York Islanders in, it was like 2001. And this is, no, actually, I'm sorry. It was well after that. It was actually after 9/11. And so it was more like 2003. And we were in Montreal. And they played both anthems before those games. Mm-hmm. When the American National Anthem came on, the Canadian fans at that arena booed loudly. Now, they booed because that was the beginning of when, in a counter, I guess, on 9/11, that George Bush had sent bombs to Iraq. And so they were protesting that. And so they were booing loudly during the anthem. And that was one of those moments as an American in a foreign country. And I was, as you always do, you stand for the anthem, that I got emotional because I was angry.
Right.
Because wait. Who are you to boo this anthem, right? And
right.
There was actually other writers, Canadian writers, who came up to us, a bunch of us writers from the U.S. that were there, apologizing. And the goalie at the time was a guy named Garth Snow, who's an American for the Islanders. And he said after the game, you know, I really wasn't focused on the game. Then the anthem happened, and they started booing, and I got locked in. And he ended up getting a shutout that night and beating the Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
Point is that it was a throwaway game, it was a regular season game, but suddenly had meaning, right? Because of the anthem, because of the history, because of the times we were living in. So that's why I feel like completely eliminating it from sports, I understand why you just want to take away something that a lot of people regularly don't put a lot of focus on. I'm going to get my snacks, like you said. I've seen people sit down and eat during the anthem. I've seen people chatter, talk during the anthem. But there are instances where when you play it, it does have meaning. So
I just wish
I don't
so
think
selective.
This is an easy debate.
I just wish it wasn't so selective, where people selectively become patriots and selectively care and they're outraged when somebody's talking stuff about them. If you have respect for the flag, then you should have respect for the flag.
Fair point.
And everybody you're with, you should instill that in them every single time. You can't have selective outrage when you, at times, disrespect the flag at times as well.
That's it. You're exactly right. And else, there are also times it becomes more about the performance and less about the moment.
The actual words, too.
All right. So, again, we'll take it, you know.
That's all Blitz and Prevent, brought to you by.
I know. That one took a while. But we got more.
Okay.
Let's go to this one. Is Major League Baseball squeezing the juice out of baseball? So, The Athletic and the Associated Press have reported over the weekend that the MLB has slightly deadened its baseballs amid a surge in home runs over the last few years. So remember, Rob Manfred vehemently denying the league purposely altered the baseballs. Remember when he said that?
Yeah, I do.
Now there's a memo that the AP has gotten saying the new balls will fly 1 to 2 feet shorter when hit over 375 feet based on a study. Who the hell does this study?
Exactly. So what was the purpose of the study?
Well, I know.
If you did nothing to the balls that made them fly out stadiums anyway. Oh,
let me finish. Let me finish. So a record 6,776 homers were hit during the 2019 season, and the rate of home runs fell only slightly during the bubble season, the pandemic shortened season in 2020. But it's just incredible. 6.6% of plate appearances resulted in home runs in 2019, 6.5% last year. So they have this four-person committee of scientists commissioned by baseball to conclude that the baseballs had less drag on average than in previous seasons, contributing to the power surge. The report blamed the spike in part of inconsistencies in seam height. We're getting technical, Bart.
Right.
Which is what many pitchers, you remember, claimed and Manfred denied. So Blitz or Prevent, this is the most important part.
Less drag.
Less home runs, you say? In a sport where analytics push the idea of home runs and strikeouts as the best outcome? I'm already bored. But all kidding aside, let's hope this forces teams to trash the nerd numbers and get back to playing, get back to getting the ball in play. Chicks may dig the long ball, but we all prefer a little foreplay, too, don't we?
No, absolutely. I mean, you can't get it going right without the foreplay. That would be disrespectful. But I tell you what, you talk about, exactly. To quote Marvin Hagler, right? It's studiousness. So anyway, when you talk about this, like they admit they have a problem, but now they're taking the action out of the game. And I think you heard a lot of complaints by guys like Verlander, especially, who had never gave up that many home runs, complain about the ball and trying to scratch it up and get it right so they can get the balls out. You know what I mean? I think they're catering to their superstars as well, as the pitchers are the quarterbacks of the league. I think they're catering to that. And I wonder what effect does that have on the record books? Like, if they knowingly altered the ball to juice up, home runs and juice up the action, then how are they not altering the score records and the integrity of the game? But they can do it when they want to. But when
baseball's claiming that this was a Rawlings thing and not their problem.
Okay,
so
so we're saying that Rawlings. So are they severing their ties?
Owned by
Major League Baseball. That's what I'm saying. So come on, man. It's like me blaming my left hand for what my right hand did. Like, stop it. Like, you guys are together. Don't give me that stuff.
But it comes back to the point of, fine, if it's 1 to 2 feet, by the way. It's 1 to 2 feet. Here, just all I'm saying is, if it means less home runs, does it mean we get away from the all or nothing baseball that we've seen that is kind of taking the fun out of the sport, the entertainment out of the sport?
Yeah.
Let's hope that it does. I want to turn this negative into a positive and say, good, let's get back to hit and runs.
Let's get back to contact.
Let's get back to stealing bases. Let's get back to baseball, please. Not home run derbies every day. Let's hope that's what this leads us to.
I'm sorry, Alan. You just hit into the shift.
Damn.
But I tell you what, man.
About that.
I knew the baseballs were juice when Die Hard, a.k.a. Bruce Willis, a.k.a. Brett Gardner, had a career year at like 45 in home run. Like, nah, man. It ain't no way this dude that usually tires out in August and slumps in August, never hits a home run after August, it's still hitting dingers. It's still hitting dingers in October. Stop it.
My name. What was that kid's name, right? I hit dingers.
And I hit dingers.
I hit dingers. I love that one. All right, last but not least, Todd Gurley tweeted this after Sunday's Super Bowl win. And, of course, the 7th Super Bowl of Tom Brady's career. Quote, this is not me. This is Todd Gurley. Mm-hmm. Should the NFL just retire number 12 in the future? ? SportsCenter, of course, picked it up and then tweeted the question, giving full credit to Gurley because SportsCenter certainly didn't want to take it.
Yeah, they want that on them.
We weren't saying this.
Don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
The responses were, let's just say, passionate. Several referenced, as you should, Jackie Robinson, whose number 42 was retired by Major League Baseball, and how there are absolutely no parallels between the two. One, of course, said the NBA should retire number 23, Bart. Oh, but for LeBron James. I know you'd love that. I was reading the comments. I was dying. That predictably, of course, branched into a whole other subtweet of vitriol. But it got us into deeper discussion about retiring numbers and the difference between honoring greatness and success and idolization of a player that just becomes bigger than the sport. Meanwhile, did you know that Tom Brady actually wanted to wear number 10? That was his number at Michigan. Yeah. And he arrived at New England as a sixth-round pick and a fourth-round quarterback, and the equipment manager was like, here, 12, take it, kid.
Yeah.
And, of course, the rest is history. TB12 sounds a lot better than TB10. Oh, by the way, there is a league other than baseball that retired a number. Do you know what it is?
No, I don't. I just thought it was baseball.
Bueller. Be Wayne Gretzky's number 99.
What?
Yeah, but nobody in hockey was wearing 99.
Ain't that Gordie Howe's number, bro?
No, Gordie Howe was 9. Gretzky took 2 9s because he wanted to honor him.
So you can wear 3 9s. Okay, I'm about to say don't ever disrespect Gordie Howe.
Oh, I know you, the trick guy. I'll
smack the red stripe right out your mouth.
So, Blitzer Prevent. Brady may be the greatest winner of all time in NFL history, but there's a pantheon of greatness who wore 12. Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach, Jim Kelly, and, of course, the great Joe Willie Namath.
It's one thing
for a team to retire a number, but an entire league.
Yeah.
Brady throws touchdowns. He didn't change the world, or at least in Gretzky's case, literally changed the landscape of an entire sport.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody, well, it's a couple of people that you can maybe, Pat Tillman is one that you can say, hey, die for this
country after that.
Or maybe, the old, I can't say late Greg, he's not dead, Jim Brown. Because what he stood for civil rights. But then some of the things with him smacking women, I don't know if I can rock with that because you'll have that whole thing going on with the allegations. But, like, it has to be somebody that had something to do that was bigger than the sport. So I would think if anybody in the league should be ever, number retired, Pat Tillman, is front
Tillman's
of
a because great
he put,
example.
He put millions of dollars down. He went and put his life on to fight for this country and fight for our freedoms. And unfortunately, he lost his life in the pursuit.
And what I like about that, too, is that it's a story then that you continue to tell.
Right.
Because it's, in 2045, when there's a little boy at an NFL game, Daddy, why is that number retired? Well, here's why. That's a story you want to tell. And that's kind of my point. It's one thing to be great. It's another thing to just start idolizing someone. When you retire a number like that, and first of all, 12 is such a classic football number.
I mean, he did.
Aaron Rodgers wears 12.
I think he's the first guy to marry a supermodel, though. So, I mean, I think all guys can look up to – no, I'm just messing with you.
I don't think he's the first guy to do that, no. But,
no, I'm messing
But still.
Burt Reynolds, that's Florida State.
That's one of those questions to Todd Gurley. That's one of those better, don't press send.
Yeah, exactly.
Should not have just pressed send on that one. But Sportsman decided to take it to a whole nother level. So, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. I'd love to grab some calls. We do have audio files coming up. What the hell is going on with the Brooklyn Nets? Lineup issues for them and more really just other issues that they have going on right now with that team. No doubt about that. But before we get to everything else, though, Bart, you got something to tell us about 1-800-Flowers.
Yes.
And we've got Valentine's Day coming.
You know what Sunday is?
It's faster. I looked up. I was like, what? Already?
Chocolate, strawberries, and flowers are going to be at a shortage. But guess what? 1-800-Flowers got you covered. In every relationship, Alan, there's a short list of forgivable offenses, but missing the most romantic day of the year isn't one of them. Valentine's Day is here, so don't wait. Head to 1-800-Flowers.com today. Right now, 1-800-Flowers has last-minute offer for our listeners. Just for our listeners. Get this, Alan. 24 multicolored roses for $34.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for $10 more. All roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak. At their peak. Cared for every step of the way. Shipped to you fresh to ensure long-lasting beauty. Order now and get 24 multicolored roses for $34.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for only $10 more. Bouquets are selling fast, so you have to take advantage of this offer. Not tomorrow, Alan. today. Get right to the romance this Valentine's and find the way to wow with 1-800-Flowers.com to order 24 multicolored roses for $34.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for only $10 more. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter promo code BART. For those out there that don't understand how to spell that, that's B and art. That's it. If you can't spell art, I can't help you. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, promo code BART. Hurry, offer expires Wednesday. We're back after this, and we still.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. See, Bart, how I paused there for effect?
I like that.
Really make you want it.
Made him absorb it, you know what I mean? You made him feel it.
Certainly do. This is, it's just interesting news in New York about the governor opening up the arenas. February 23rd, teams already reacting to it. Again, it won't be full capacity, but whatever the capacity is, you'll have fans in arenas in New York City for the two hockey teams and the two basketball teams for the first time in a year. And also with baseball season around the corner, both the Mets and the Yankees now can start thinking about whether or not they can have fans instead of just the cardboard cutouts like you had last year.
Right.
So, it's, you know, again, it, you feel like, are we heading in the right direction? You certainly hope so. But I'm also curious to just see the motivation of how many fans really want to be in the building and be part of that, and how many would rather just wait until, you know, everybody's fully vaccinated.
I mean, if it's any indication of what's going on at some of the other places, right, you know, you look at what happens in Miami, Atlanta, you know, those places – you know, I think it also could bring out some of the stars select because they want to show that they are privileged to come out and be able to be at the top front of the game so you can see, you know, local athletes, you can see local stars, entertainers trying to show up to some of these games. Hell, the Migos, you know, celebrated with the Tampa Bay Bucks after the game. So you can see those guys. It's more about clout chasing and status. You know, so you can start seeing that some – and I wonder whether what's going to be the ticket prices, right? Because if it's only so many people allowed in, if
that's
it's
a good
big
point.
Game, you want to come there and you're trying to recoup, you want to make sure that the bowl that you open up are is the bowl that's going to attract the most money and the most resources, opposed to opening up an upper bowl where you are going to be selling tickets for underneath $100. You know, so I think the more exclusive you make things, the more profit, you know, you can have. You know, I think that may be the case, and that may be what they decide to do. I'd be interested to see a place like the Garden, a place like Brooklyn with this rock star team. I mean, it's going to attract a lot of local stars.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Just to see, again, who would come out for the games. But the one thing is you got two teams in New York and both of them making headlines right now. So why don't we let them make the headlines for us as we get into audio files?
The audio files. The audio file.
So, Bart, the Nets played the Pistons last night in Detroit.
Yeah,
and the
Pistons.
Nets, you would think, even without Kevin Durant, you're like, the Pistons are the worst team in the East. I mean, they're awful, right? Were they 5-18 going into this game?
Yeah, 5-18 going into the game.
Like,
but they 5-7 at home, though. So when they play well, it's at home.
Yeah, pizza. But but still, when you have Kyrie Irving and James Harden, this even without KD, this should not be an issue. But it was.
Yeah.
The Pistons win 122-111. Yes, 122 So 111. So Kyrie Irving was asked about, why do you guys lose to the bad teams? Take a listen.
We are the team that the NBA put the most games on. We're the team that gets someone taken out during COVID, during the games. We're the team that has to deal with the refs. We're the team that is really? Literally battling against so really? Many odds that at this point,
so many odds.
It's not even a reason to continue to comment on them. They are what they are. And as a warrior that I am and that the energy that I have alongside my teammates, we just have to turn that corner. And we haven't done it yet, but we will. And I'm telling you, the league's going to be on notice for now. Just got to take it day by day.
Where do you begin with this? Are you serious? Where do you begin with this? We're the team that has to face all the adversity?
The Pistons?
We're the team that can't. Kyrie had 27 points and 7 assists. He was a minus 13, dude. Do you know who their starting point guard is? I bet you can't name him.
I can't.
And you're from Detroit.
I know Blake. And I know Grant. Plumlee, that's it. That's all I got.
We're the team that has everything going against us. We get a guy taken out of the game because of COVID. We have to deal with travel and schedule and blah, blah, blah.
The world's smallest by
Kyrie, how about you're the team with you and James Harden on the floor together? Nine games you've played together on the same floor, and the team's record is 5-4. You're only a plus 4 in 263 minutes. When KD and Harden play together, that's 8 games. They're 6-2. They're plus 38 in 244 minutes. So they are plus 34 in basically 20 less minutes.
Yeah.
So
what is he talking about, man?
Maybe the adversity is looking at you in the mirror. Because guess what? You know how they were going after, like, you know how Mike Remmers was the fish in the Super Bowl? Everybody wanted to go after him. Right? Poor Mike Remmers getting picked on, right?
Pick and roll.
Guess what, Kyrie? When you're on defense,
pick and roll. Pick and roll.
You're the fish. Everybody wants to go at you defensively. That's the problem. Not the schedule and everybody's against us and all that stuff.
I can't believe
come on, man. You're such a great player. How do you not see this?
Man, he hit us with the Kellen Winslow Jr. I'm a freaking soldier. Like, man, come on, bro. It's not.
Oh,
bro,
you got to love that.
Bro, it's not
the warrior that I am. Are you? Well, do you want to be a warrior? Are you trying to get traded to Golden State?
No.
Anyways, on the other side, the New York Knicks, they lost both games against the Miami Heat in a two-game set here, a home and home. And they were like, if you love 90s basketball, that's basically what these were. It was just ugly, grinding out kind of games.
Zach Randolph, Anthony Mason.
You had R.J. Barrett had a chance to tie on the final play, and he missed, and oh well. But still, the Knicks made a trade for Derrick Rose, speaking of the Pistons. They got him from your Detroit Pistons. And he looked great. He had 14 points, 3 assists in 20 minutes. The Knicks took the L, yes, but you add Derrick Rose now to this bench, and the Knicks are starting to play like a team that is no longer a laughing stock, but actually a team that should contend for a playoff spot. Derrick Rose was coveted, though, by several contending teams, including both in L.A. and even those Brooklyn Nets. They could use his scoring off the bench. So Derrick Rose was asked, but why were the Knicks your preferred destination?
Of course, even though I couldn't say that at the time, I just wanted to be comfortable. And like I said, I've been knowing these guys ever since high school, like 8th grade high school. So coming here, like I said, it's family. So I never really thought about anything else. But getting here and understanding that they wanted me to play my game and help groom the young guys that's already here. We got Quick, we got E starting at the point guard. But really with Quick, letting him, trying to preach to him to stay aggressive. Even though if he's missing shots, he still got to stay aggressive and spring on them, like the double team. Or if you see guys open, make sure you hit them, call the ball back. I mean, little point guard things, but over time, I think our relationship is just going to keep getting better. And he's, of course, a talent, so I'm honored to be here and playing with him.
Should we take notice of Derrick Rose making this move? Because obviously he knows Tibbs really well.
Yeah,
he knows World Wide West really well. That's what he referenced there. But also that they've got some young players, including Quickley, who he seems to be raving about, that he's now going to pair with off the bench. Should we start to pay more attention to the Knicks as a legit team that can make the playoffs?
Well, I think they definitely can be an 8 or 7 seed. I think, you know, they coming together. You saw the chemistry that he had, because also who is he going to be coming off the bench with? He's going to be coming off the bench with Obi. You saw some chemistry there immediately, you know, some pick and roll action, a little live, getting them to easy shots and setting them up. And Derrick Rose been there, done that, and that's what you expect by a veteran. But it seems like he's comfortable, and he understands exactly the reason why he's here. He's here to try and help develop. And it's surprising to me that, understanding that he had opportunity to maybe to win a chip, but he just wanted to be comfortable. And that tells you about his maturity and about him making sure that he enjoys the game of basketball, because I think at times he hasn't enjoyed the game of basketball, and that's why we've seen him pull a couple of stunts that he's pulled over the years. He just wants to be loved, accepted, and he wants to be able to play and just only worry about the game and not have to question the decisions of the people that's pulling the strings.
Yeah, it. I mean, again, he looked happy last night. I covered the game for MSG Networks, and he really did. He came in the game. He had instant energy. Only played 20 minutes, but still, he could have gone to a contender. Could have gone to a contender. But instead, he goes to the Knicks. And, you know, we'll see how this certainly works out for them. But it's been a long time since the Knicks have made the playoffs. They certainly could use that kind of energy. Last but not least, as we led off the show with Russell Wilson on Dan Patrick's show, talked about, basically made it sound like, okay, I want to be involved in decisions. Is he very happy? Is he really happy in Seattle? Once again, sound like another one of these quarterbacks that is trying to take control of his situation. So listen to what he says here when he was asked if he thinks he's a candidate to be traded.
Yeah, I definitely believe they're getting calls, for sure. I didn't think that, you know, anything, anytime you're a player that, you know, tries to produce every week and has done it for, you know, consistently, I think people are going to call for sure. And I think it's part of the process.
Yeah, but you're a franchise quarterback. You're a Hall of Fame quarterback. You're not available, are you?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm available or not. That's a Seahawks question. But I think more than anything else is, you know, I think at the end of the day, you want to win. You know, you play this game every day to wake up to win. You play this game to be the best in the world. You know, you know what I hate? I hate sitting there watching other guys play the game. It's nothing worse.
By the way, you looked miserable at the Super Bowl watching.
Yeah, there's a picture of Sierra and Roger talking. I'm sitting there pissed off. I'm watching this game, like, you know, wishing that I was in there playing. So, you know, I think that you know, ultimately, you watch the games, and you want to do everything you can to be there. That's why we play this game.
It's a great point. You saw him in the because he got
Walter Payton Man of the Year. Yeah.
Walter Payton Man of the Year, and so he sat with the commissioner. He and Ciara were with the commissioner during the game, and yeah, he looked like he wanted to be anywhere but there. But what do you make of the way he put that? Oh, right, I think they're getting calls on me, and do you think are you available?
Exactly. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's playing that game, man. And he's trying to make sure that he gets power. He's trying to say he doesn't know if he's available. Like, come on, man. You're a franchise quarterback. They just paid you a bunch of that money, and you know that you're not available. If you ask Patrick Mahomes, is he available? You're going to say no. If you ask Tampa, or if you ask Tom Brady, am I available? He's going to say no. It's like certain quarterbacks that know that they're not available, and the fact that he's even going to indicate that he may possibly be available is a joke. And that's just him playing the political game that he always plays. He understands he's trying to apply maximum pressure because he's tired of watching. He knows that window is closing for him, and he's going to have to adjust his game too. He can't continue to take those type of hits. He was better equipped to take those hits early in his career, but they start to add up. We see it with Big Ben. You know, guys that are brave and bold in the pocket and let Russ cook and all that type of stuff, that's great. But when you start getting into your 30s, those hits have lasting effects, and they start to add up. And he's trying to preserve himself for the future, and he's trying to do that by putting pressure on the organization to bring in some protection for him. Because, I mean, Dwayne Brown at this point is over – I'm not going to call him over the hill, but he's an older player. You think about Ipadi couldn't stay healthy anymore. He was once a good player when he was with San Francisco. He's been with San Francisco for a long time, went to Arizona. Now he's with them. They're doing retreads. He wants premium prime guys. If he wants out of prime maximum pressure, he's looking at Orlando Brown potentially being available. He says, I want that guy. Go do whatever it takes. But the problem is, you just went all in on Jamal Adams, so you don't have any first round draft picks, so you don't have anything to offer. I wonder if the Seattle Seahawks are going to become like most of the teams in the NBA, trading all these future draft picks, won't have a first round draft pick to 2030.
That's really where the Nets are right now. Hopefully it works out for them. All right, that's Audio Files. Thank you, Emily. Appreciate it, as always. The college basketball season is heating up, And that means Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of Wooden Award late season top 20 nominees to watch as the season rolls on. And if you are in the NBA and you're an NBA fan and you're watching this from a lottery's perspective, everybody's talking about Jalen Suggs and just how dynamic he is. And so much of the talk was Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State coming into this year. But, man, that kid Suggs is special. Plays for Gonzaga, and if you get a chance to watch him, you absolutely should. The John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. Coming up, Bart mentioned Orlando Brown. Where are some possible places he could land? And could either team in New York use him? I would say yes. Just about anybody could, but especially in New York. We'll discuss. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
I feel this from the prophet Cobain. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Hahn show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Hey, Bart, former teammates go to war at UFC 258. Kamaru Usman defends his welterweight title against Gilbert Burns only on ESPN Plus, where, of course, you can also find our show. And hours and hours and hours of daily sports talk. UFC 258 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for just $69.99. Visit ESPNPlus.com/PPV. So I want to get your take on where you think the best landing spot for Orlando Brown is. But before I do that, do you remember Taylor Heinicke?
Yeah, man, the guy that Chase Young was hyping up all on the side because he knew he couldn't touch Brady, so he was hyping his boy up. Absolutely.
Two games that he played, and from those two games that he played for Washington has turned into a two-year contract, re-signing with Washington, worth up to $8.75 million. He would have been a restricted free agent.
Yeah. Remember Michael
Bennett. Decided to keep him.
Remember how Michael Bennett's talking about how he got to be set the world on fire and all you got to do to really make money in this league is be an average third-string white quarterback in this league and you can make a bunch of money? I mean, come on, man. Like, this guy's making money that great linebackers. Like, there's going to be linebackers out there that start that's going to be asking for money. This dude's going to hold a clipboard for 8 damn months.
Not all guaranteed, let's be honest. Not all
but he's gonna, all he got to do is not get in trouble and be at the right place.
He's taking math classes at ODU.
Yeah, yeah.
Washington signed him to the practice squad in December, yeah. And then two months later, $8 million waiting for you if you can earn it. I don't know.
Thank Dwayne Haskins for sucking so bad at going to the strip club
and just doing
that opened it up for him to get $8 million.
I guess we'll have to get to Orlando Brown tomorrow. We've certainly got a lot more to get to. The Nets do play again tonight. Let's see how Kyrie the Warrior does against the Pacers. Until then, Bart, I'll see you tomorrow.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.